It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sorry about that, Limits. I had some technical difficulties over here. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Joe. How about you?
I'm doing very well. I think we have a lot of things to talk about today, not the least of which is the quarterback situation with the Steelers, the backyard brawl, which might be my favorite event in all of Pittsburgh sports, many things. But we begin today with 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11, and one of those, tragedies. Events in our lives where we remember exactly where we were when it happened. And I know where I was. I was over at South Point covering a Penguins practice. And I remember interviewing Robert Deme that day. You might remember him. I think he was their first round pick in 97. And this was, 4 years later? And it was over at South Point, interviewed him. And then I went over to they had a little apparel, Penguins apparel, sports apparel shop at South Point. And I remember up on CNN on the TVs, back then, it wasn't that long ago, really. But back then we weren't walking around with phones and Twitter and things like that, where we were getting everything real time right in that moment. And obviously, just like all of you out there, never forget where I was when it happened and how unbelievably frightening it was that part of it was happening right near us. Remember calling my family, I had a bunch of people in DC, and it was just one of those things that you just never, ever, ever forget. So heart goes out this morning to all the families that were affected by that, who continued to live with what happened. And it's one of those days, man. Were you born yet?
I was 5 months old.
Wow.
And my dad remembers holding me outside and saw one of the planes fly over our house. He swears that it was one of the planes that flew over.
Wow.
And just, he remembers how low it was and how low, obviously the planes were flying in the tragedy. I've watched every documentary pretty much on it that you could, that's been published. Every year I try to watch it, and the older and older I get, Joe, I can't watch it, meaning it just becomes too hard to watch. The older I get, the more I understand, the harder it is to further process everything that happened and just the sadness of everything. It's historic, and I like history a lot, and I like watching documentaries on history, but it's just too tough to watch for me to watch now. It really is, because it's that sad and depressing and something that we can never, ever forget and try to prevent from ever happening again.
Ron remembers covering, sports intersected with this event and still continues really to this day to intersect in different ways. Then President George W. Bush throwing out the first pitch of Game 3 of the World Series. He was covering that game, actually, and said that left, an effect on him for certain, forever, as did that day. So again, hearts go out to people who were directly affected by that. And then we move back into the little toy store of sports here. Although, as I said, sports and that event and the people involved continue to intersect. We saw the 9/11 families were really angry with the PGA Tour. They felt like the PGA Tour sort of seized upon the Saudi connections to 9/11, whatever people believe they are, and when they were opposing the LIV Tour, but then wound up partnering with the LIV Tour and the families of the 9/11 victims, a group of them anyway, didn't know and resented the fact that the PGA had done what they called a complete 180. So we continue to see in different ways the sports world intersect with that.
Yeah, I'm wearing my American flag t-shirt proudly today. Heart goes out to everyone.
And I'm wearing a couple of weeks, maybe a month ago now, a Wounded Warrior event that I was really honored to be part of out at Old Stonewall. And especially, I hadn't been to an event like that where it was speakers and everything afterward, like actual people, veterans who have been in combat with stories. And it was really profoundly moving. But anyway, we move back into our little sports world here. And our little old quarterback controversy, City Limits, and that's precisely what we have. And I have to sort of laugh. I got pushback on that from people yesterday. And I guess it's about the word controversy. Is that the case? That must be the case, right?
It's a controversy.
Controversy implies strife. It implies upset. It implies, when it's in the context of NFL quarterbacks, that you don't have one who's a bona fide, coveted NFL starter. It's the old story, and it might be true and it might not. We don't know yet about this year's Steelers. That when you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Please don't say controversy, because that implies that. I feel like that's the pushback, is over the word choice itself. So we can choose a different word. That's fine. Dilemma. And I wrote about this in the Post-Gazette this morning. Whatever word you like, it's clearly very uncertain who's going to be the Steelers quarterback this year. Like, when I think of the definition of a quarterback controversy, this has all the earmarks of one. We don't know who the starter is going to be. The candidates are roughly equal in terms of, like, let's say they both went out on the open market. Well, they actually kind of did, and nobody wanted them except for the Steelers, maybe another team or two, but nobody really else wanted them. So you measure it like, and on those terms, they're kind of even. The coach won't name a starter anymore. He had two chances yesterday, didn't do it. That's three earmarks of a quarterback controversy. And lastly, you have a passionately divided, I think, fan base and media. And people will blame the media for looking for clickbait and, you know, oh, it's a quarterback controversy. Everybody loves that. Well, they do, number one. And number two, like, what else are you calling it here? You know as well as me that if Justin Fields plays really well Sunday, he's going to play the next week. At least I think he is. That's part of the intrigue and part of the fun. And that's really the thrust of this, is why can't we enjoy a good quarterback controversy? Whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not, it's here. At the very least, it's budding right now, because you had a coach who's been consistently saying that Russell Wilson is the guy, presented with a softball yesterday. This was like Pony pitching at the Steelers softball celebrity game. A nice meatball. Is Russell Wilson still your starter when he's healthy? If he's healthy, still your QB1? We're going to listen to that in a minute. You have to say is yes. Yeah. I've been consistent with you guys, said that all along. But I don't know if he is, so we're rolling with Justin now. He didn't say that. He didn't say yes. Didn't really come close to saying yes, which is fine. We also know that this coach was deeply in love with Justin Fields going into the draft, which wasn't that long ago. It was 3 years ago. This staff, this team loved Justin Fields. Jerry Dulac reporting that if the Steelers somehow wound up getting a crack at Fields, that he was the number one guy on their board. Wasn't that the Trevor Lawrence year?
Yeah.
The number one guy on their board. And nothing that Mike Tomlin has said since he started working with Justin Fields on a daily basis would indicate anything but that he's fallen deeper in love with the guy. And he just won him a game. And he won him in a game. He won him a game in the style that Tomlin covets. No turnovers. made plays with his legs, with his feet. Tomlin's been looking for a guy like that forever, it seems. It's all he talks about at his weekly news conferences when he goes up against guys like Justin Fields. Brought out the story yesterday, how involved in the game he was. Came over to the sidelines on that 3rd and 7 and basically said, I'll take it myself, and he did, and wasn't that great. So let's not fool ourselves into thinking that Russell Wilson's just going to jump right back in if Fields plays a really good game on Sunday. That's silliness. And to me, you add all of that up, and it's not hard to find anecdotally. I can find people on my street. You can too out there, I'm sure. And at work, who have divided opinions on Fields and Wilson. And I bet there are some in that locker room too. Everybody has a preference, right? It doesn't have to be this horribly negative thing. Although, at its very root, it is a negative thing. Because it means you don't have a clear-cut, bona fide, coveted NFL starter at the most important position in all of sports. Once we move past that, why not enjoy it? This could have been Rudolph and Pickett. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? A lot of us thought that the Steelers weren't going to do anything with their quarterback room other than bring back Mason as a legitimate competitor. This town was already divided on Mason and Kenny at the end of last season, and that would have had even more intrigue than this one. That would have been the hometown hero, the Pitt near Heisman Trophy winner, Kenny Pickett, against Mason, who suddenly gained a lot of favor in this town late last season. It would have been unbelievable. We were bound for a quarterback controversy either way, although Tomlin was very clear all preseason that Russell's in pole position, Russell's the starter, I've been very transparent with you guys, blah, blah, blah. Wasn't so transparent yesterday. He was all over the place. It's just very, very interesting to me that people, even on this station, don't want to say it's a controversy. Like, if I was leaning either way in talk radio, I would definitely lean toward controversy. I'll admit that. But it is, by any reasonable definition, a quarterback controversy. 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. Quarterbacks. The big boy, Mark Cabali, will weigh in. I'm sure he'll try to defuse the situation. Tell me how crazy I am. And then we have, who else is on the show today?
We have Zangrilli, and Zangrilli has to move to noon.
What a nice man he is. We also have a wheel of ball, but let's start with this. Your thoughts on this. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. On the afternoon show, I was quite honored that Pony took the heated end of our show, where I was going back and forth with a couple people who took great umbrage with the term controversy. Oh, no, you can't call it that. Even though there's no named starter at the moment, you have two guys vying for the position and an impassioned fan base divided on it. No, it's not a controversy. There's no controversy here. So, Limits, let's go to the afternoon show right now, where Pony said, hey, we had a hot end to the midday show. And then he asked Mulsey and Donnie. Everybody's name ends in a Y on that show, or an I, or an IE, as the case may be. They're all hockey player nicknames, Pony, Mulsey, and Donnie. I hadn't thought of this in those terms yet. Limits, had you?
What about Chappie and some of the other nicknames? Did Chelty give them the nickname?
I don't know. It's like a hockey locker room. Pony, Mulsey, and Donnie. Anyway, even though it's obviously a controversy, Donnie, and I think that Donnie and Mulsey didn't want to agree with me. They find that loathsome. And I pronounced that right, Mulsey. We had a controversy one day on our show, and I did it with him on the word, I loathe that. He really likes to go hard on the TH, loathe that. Do you on that?
He's a big adjective man. Yeah, big encyclopedia guy.
He is, and I love Mulsey dearly.
Thesaurus.
I truly do. He is. He's a human thesaurus. But he didn't want to agree with me, and neither did Donnie. And yet, when Pony said, is there a controversy? Well, listen to who they picked as the guy that should be the quarterback moving forward. So in trying to disagree with my term controversy. They only stoked the fire and basically delivered proof that it is.
Apparently, Starkey was arguing with both fans via the text line and over the phones about whether or not we have a quarterback controversy brewing. Joe said yes. He's telling us when we came in here that most of the listeners are saying no, it's not a quarterback controversy. So who's right? Is Joe right or are the listeners right? Donnie, I'll ask you. Do we have a quarterback controversy?
I don't think so. I think it's Justin Fields going forward, really, until he proves that it can't be him.
Wow.
I don't think it's a controversy right now, and I shouldn't believe I'm saying this. I actually think Donnie is right. I think that they're going to roll with Justin Fields for the foreseeable future if he keeps winning them football games.
All right. Okay. It's not a controversy because Justin Fields is the guy.
Except the vernacular has been different the entire summer and the pole position of Russell Wilson, but now Justin Fields. That's the definition of a controversy.
Somebody is supplanting
someone else, and there's a lot of murky waters with injuries. And you know the old adage that you can't be replaced based on injury? Pickett was, and now it looks like Russell Wilson is.
All of that is happening. No, it's not a controversy. Clearly Fields is the guy. That's your best answer here, gentlemen. And I love it. Don't get me wrong, but they just didn't want to agree with me. No controversy here. Fields is the guy. What? Donnie, come on. I don't know what Donnie has against me in that situation, Limits, and now you've disappeared from my sight, which is very disconcerting because you're deeply involved in this first segment. Could you please hang up on whoever that is, unless it's our boss? Clearly, if you're saying that Justin Fields should be the guy moving forward, you can't follow that with nothing to see here. No controversy. Come on, Malzi. What are we doing here? Let's hear that again. It was actually comical. Let's hear the whole thing again. No controversy here. The backup is the guy 2 weeks in.
Apparently, Starkey was arguing with both fans via the text line and over the phones about whether or not we have a quarterback controversy brewing. Joe said yes. He's telling us when we came in here that most of the listeners are saying no, it's not a quarterback controversy. So who's right? Is Joe right or are the listeners right? Donnie, I'll ask you. Do we have a quarterback controversy?
I don't think so. I think it's Justin Fields going forward, really, until he proves that it can't be
him.
Wow.
Incredible.
I don't think it's a controversy right now, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually think Donnie is right. I think that they're going to roll with Justin Fields for the foreseeable future. Even if
Wilson's healthy, I believe is what he added, or what he implied. They've lost their minds. Pony's the only one who was operating with a clear mind yesterday. Now let's go and make sure we heard Mike Tomlin correctly with his questions and his answers, because this is where you get into the clickbait media charge. You're just looking for headlines, clickbait, callers, you're baiting callers. Okay. First of all, let's rewind for a minute. We all know what not a quarterback controversy looks like, right? That looks like Ben for 15 years. That's Ben and Duck Hodges. Clearly, we don't have that here, right? We don't have a clear-cut starter, obviously, right? Okay. Secondly, Tomlin was pretty consistent saying Wilson's in pole position, and then the week before the Atlanta game or thereabouts, he named Wilson the starter. Therefore, any logically inclined person would think that Wilson is still the starter, right? Because it's just a calf injury, one that he was able to dress and be available for as the emergency quarterback in week one. And by the way, you can't convince me that if this were prime Russell Wilson in Seattle, that he wouldn't be playing right now. Pete Carroll would put him on the field. He wants to play. Adam Schefter reported that he told the team he could play in Atlanta. And you better believe he wants to play against Sean Payton after what he did to Russell Wilson. So I don't think that I'm reaching here. I think first of all, nobody would ask if Duck Hodges or whoever, Landry Jones played in week one. Nobody would ask Mike Tomlin, hey, if Ben's healthy, he's still your starter, right? That's how you know you don't have a quarterback controversy. But they're asking Mike Tomlin, hey, is Russell still going to be your guy when he's healthy? His answer isn't yes. It could be, listen, yes, I've told you guys all along he's the starter. Of course, now he could add what he did yesterday. It's a big if, but yeah, he's still the guy. That's not what happened. Let's go to the two times that Tomlin was presented with a softball yesterday.
If he's healthy, will he start on Sunday?
That's a big if. I'm not into the hypotheticals. As I mentioned, right now, he's not healthy. And so my time and attention is focusing on the readiness of Justin.
Okay, that was one. Then the big boy stepped to the plate. The big boy with a size 56 bat in his hands, right? And he wasn't the guy with the bat. He was the guy with the ball. The big boy stepped to the mound and threw a little lollipop up there.
It was like Rowdy on the mound.
Quarterback position is a little bit of a national topic. When healthy, is Russell still your QB1?
I'm not going to soothe you with hypothetical scenarios. It is my general practice to not. You guys that know me know I do not. So why start today because it's the quarterback position or because it's a national story? I am unmoved by some of those narratives, to be quite honest with you. We got an approach to business. I always stand in front of you guys when people are somewhat limited. I say we'll push through our work week. We'll let their participation be our guide in terms of whether we include them and then the quality of that participation. This scenario is no different for me. Respectfully, I understand that you have to ask that question, but it doesn't mean that we need to change our position or do things that are abnormal in the effort to answer it. We're just simply going to proceed with what we normally do. Our energies and attention are on those that are available and are scheduled to play. They are deserving of that. When those that are not are healthy, we'll ponder it at that time.
That's a lot of words to avoid saying yes. A lot of words. And we all know, like I said before, any one of us who are inclined to think even remotely, logically, know that if Justin Fields plays great, there's a very good chance, even with a healthy Russell Wilson, he's going to play the next week. And I won't go into all the reasons again. One, it's obvious. Two, he's not saying that Wilson's going back to that job. Three, he loves Justin Fields. Tomlin loves Justin Fields. Did you hear what I said? Dulac reported that they would have taken Justin. He was one on their board. And nothing that Tomlin has said since Fields arrived here would indicate he loves him less. Loves him more, I would say. In fact, he has said, yeah, and I'm paraphrasing, I knew he was a really athletic, you know, super freak type of guy, but wow, seeing him up close every day, I'm shocked. He did use that word with, I believe, Kay Adams. Is that her name?
Yes.
When she was here for camp. So, you know, I apologize, but I don't. But there's a quarterback controversy here. 412-928-9370. I don't really care to spend much time on arguing back and forth whether it is a controversy, because even the people who claim it's not, by their subsequent words, prove that it is. Donnie, Malzi. So let's talk about who you think should start when all people are healthy and what you think of Justin Fields. And whether you think Russell Wilson, under normal circumstances, if he was in his prime in Seattle, would be starting in this game. Like I said, you know, when you don't have a controversy, that's when nobody asks, is Ben still your starter, even though Landry had a good game? Ben was your starter. A healthy Ben, nobody had to mention that. Even an injured Ben was probably your starter. An injured Ben in the way that Wilson's injured now, where he's still dressing for a game and telling the Steelers he can play, according to Schefter. For a guy who's as tough as any quarterback in the league, he went 9 straight seasons without missing a game. Then he broke his finger, had to be surgically repaired. I think he played through some of that, too, a couple of years ago. And then he got benched in Denver. So still, however many years it's been, 13, 14, whatever it is with him, he's missed like a handful of games because of injury. So he would be out there, I'm convinced, with an injury like this. I believe Schefter's report.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing to see here. No quarterback controversy. Is that the gist in the texts we're getting?
Yes, that's exactly what the texters are saying. It's just the media's fabrication that there's a quarterback controversy.
It's always the media. And that's the lazy person's explanation for all their ills. The media's fault. Yeah, okay. No, this is normal. It's just Russell Wilson will just go right back to the starting job. He's the anointed starter, even though the coach no longer says it. The other guy won a game. The other guy's going to play this week, even though Russell Wilson, according to Adam Schefter, told the Steelers he could play last week. And obviously, this is me talking now, obviously would want to play this week against this team. So if you don't think it's a controversy, then you absolutely don't think Justin Fields will play next week if Russell Wilson's healthy, right? No matter what, Fields goes out and he's capable of big games, throws for 3 touchdowns, runs for 90 yards, and they put up 30 points in Denver. He ain't starting because there's no controversy. As long as Wilson's healthy in week 3, he's the starter. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about who you back in this situation. They had a great talk on the afternoon show yesterday with Donnie and Malzie saying that Justin Fields should be the guy. Paul Zeiss wrote a story. He wrote, Paul out again today, he wrote that Fields should be the guy. You're saying Fields should be the guy, right?
1,000% he should be the guy.
There we go. And I'm not. I think Wilson deserves his shot. These are all hallmarks of a controversy, but it also comes back to what I've been saying the whole show. People just very much object to that word.
So why
so
does,
let's call it a dilemma. They have a quarterback dilemma. Let's use a euphemism because nobody can handle the word controversy. It's too much for them.
We'll use a different adjective. Why do you believe that Russell Wilson deserves a shot?
Because I think he's still good. That's why.
I think
he's still the better of the two quarterbacks.
That's where our difference
here
of opinions are, because I don't think he's that good anymore.
That's fine. But the other thing to keep in mind here is that they have zero emotional, historical, or financial connection to Russell Wilson. None. None. So does it at least cross your mind, if he wants to play in Denver and doesn't play, that pretty soon he could go very quickly from volunteer to hostage here? Limits? Cross my mind. Let's go to the phones. Who we got?
Let's go to Joe in Robinson.
Joe, what's up?
Hey, Joe, I agree there is a controversy, and my thinking is I don't think Justin Fields played that great this past week. They didn't throw the – and listen, I'm a fan of his, but I think Russell Wilson has a better upside. They didn't throw the ball down the middle. They completed one pass, which was for any length, which was called back. And let's not forget the 6 field goals were from the logo. But yet, I guess our quarterback play was so terrible last year, everyone's anointing him as Joe Montana. I think the opposite. I think he played solid. He played okay. But okay's not going to have us win anything.
No, I hear you. But it is important to note that that's not true what you just said. Not everybody, in fact, almost nobody is saying this guy's great. I put out a poll the other day, and just judging from calls and interactions with people, there aren't tons of people. Like, I don't think the majority of people are saying Justin Fields played really well the other day. And I agree with you. I don't think he did, but he played the kind of game that Mike Tomlin seems to really like. No turnovers, make plays with your legs, and win the game. I think Mike Tomlin really liked it, and Pro Football Focus also gave Fields very high grades for that game, whether we like it or not.
I agree, and that's the problem. That gets us a loss in the first round of the playoffs. They moved the ball. It was boring to watch. If our defense doesn't play exceptional, we lose that game. When they play, if that's the quarterback play we're accepting, they're never going to beat Kansas City. They're never going to win a playoff game. That's unacceptable. And I feel that Russell Wilson is only 2 years removed from being a quarterback who can throw for 300 yards and multiple touchdowns. With that being said, I don't dislike Justin Fields, but I think Russell Wilson gives us the opportunity, just the opportunity to throw for 3 touchdowns and maybe over 200 yards passing, which would be a miracle. Watch a WPIL game, they throw the ball down the field.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you at least willing to acknowledge the difficulties that Fields was operating under. I don't disagree with much of what you said, but to be fair to Fields, first game, new team, didn't get all the reps in practice, hostile environment, crappy backup receiver. You know, there's a lot going on there where I thought by the end of the game, certainly he was making mostly winning plays and he was dealing with a lot. So I guess my question is, are you willing to acknowledge that with a full week of work, could Fields be better and could the offense be better? I think that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it is. But didn't we just sign our tight end for a long-term contract who's a guy who's capable? Why don't we throw the ball in the middle of the field? Is Justin Fields not capable of doing that? Or does our offense not allow that to happen? That's my
question. Well, that's a big question going into week two for sure, is what will the passing game actually look like? And you're right. It wasn't just field goals they kicked. It was a couple of them were bombs, right?
Well, I mean, he made three kicks of 50-plus.
I mean, they could have easily wound up and reasonably wound up with 13 points or 12. How many points did they? 18 minus, yeah.
And no, nobody's acting like Justin Fields lit the world on fire on Sunday. Like, I like the elements and the dynamics that he brings. I also like that he's a young 25-ish-year-old quarterback where you're trying to play it on the upside. You're trying to play to the upside that Fields can bring you, and you want to find out if he could be a long-term answer as well. And I think that kind of gets lost in the shuffle because Russell Wilson, in all likelihood, I think he's a one-and-done guy. It's this year, and that's it. Do they want to pay him $50 million if he's good, if he's really good this
year?
You're
never going to have to pay him that. Never. Never, I don't think. But I do understand your larger point there. Back to the phones.
Let's go to George. He's in Cleveland.
Hello. My condolences, George. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. It's great to be a symbol of championship and quality in a city where there is no championships and no quality football.
Yeah, on the other hand, your team hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years, and the team that beat them in one of the most recent ones won here without their coach on the sidelines and put up 48 points. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm representing the Steelers. I don't represent the Browns. So
I understand, yeah.
Okay. Very simple. I think we're in a competition. I think the first 4 weeks of the season is a mini preseason. I think the most healthiest man standing between the two is Fields. And I think you put the healthiest guy out there and you put a 80% Wilson out there with a bad leg, and he could be gone for the rest of the season, and we're still dealing with a...
Well, you phrased it very well there. What's your first name?
George.
George, you phrased it very well there.
I would throw it out...
Well, the first part of it anyway. I would throw this out there, and thank you for the call. Is there a competition still happening here? There's only two answers. Yes or no. If you say no, all right, then you don't think there's a competition, then you don't think there's a controversy. There's no competition still happening here. Justin Fields could throw for 800 yards on Sunday, and if Russell Wilson's healthy, he's the guy. That's fine. If you believe that, that's fine. But if you think there is still a competition happening, to me, an in-season competition is synonymous to controversy. That's a controversy. That's a quarterback controversy. The terms are interchangeable. One is very nice. It's more of a euphemism, I should say. An in-season competition. This is like George Carlin comparing baseball and football. You remember that? It's an in-season competition happening. The other one is a controversy. Horrible things are implied by a controversy. There's strife and there's upset. And there's a winner and a loser, and there's clickbait media, and there's drama, and there's maybe a divided locker room. No, we don't want controversy. But an in-season competition's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just two guys looking to win the job. That's all. Just two nice guys looking to win the job. That's all. It's an in-season competition. It's nice. You see where I'm going with that?
I see exactly where you're going with it. And the people are trying to say, well, one, Russell Wilson can't lose his job based on injury. And also,
do you agree with that?
I do not agree with that.
They should ask Kenny Pickett about that, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because it just happened about 8 months ago.
Ask Drew Bledsoe about it. Could ask a bunch of different players about it in different situations.
Right, but if this coach had a different kind of tack that he used, then you couldn't apply it here. It just happened to Kenny Pickett. So I'm sorry, but you're out of your mind out there if you think that there's nothing Justin Fields can do to win this job right now and that Russell can't lose the job on account of injury. You're just not dealing in reality in that case. I'm not saying that Russell won't get the job back, but the idea that that's locked up no matter what happens, you're not dealing in reality.
So here's a couple texts, Joe. There's no controversy. The backup quarterback is the guy, is just classic theater and classic material. We're not talking, like you mentioned.
What does he mean? Read that again.
There's no controversy. Yes. The quote-unquote backup quarterback is the guy is classic material to use and talk about.
Oh, well, he is the guy right now, and if he plays well, he'll continue to be the guy. I would ask that person to call and just tell me that he doesn't believe there's an in-season competition still happening right now, that there's no competition. No matter what happens, Wilson's the guy.
Because it's not like when Mason Rudolph was here, and then here comes Kenny Pickett. Both were acquired within, a week span? A two-week span, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. We know how glowingly Mike Tomlin has spoken of Fields, how high they think of him. And also, Russell Wilson was basically free to them. Here you go. There's a connection with Akershire as well. Russell Wilson had a lot of reasons to be here.
Do they sign Russell Wilson, or do they get Russell Wilson if he had known Fields would be available?
If Russell Wilson
If Mike Tomlin knew he could get Fields, would he still have gotten Wilson?
I don't think so.
I at least wonder.
But I think that T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, and Minkah Fitzpatrick also had a big part in why Russell Wilson's here. And they have a big say in the locker room and also partly in the organization. Not as big as Tomlin, but they have a say.
Well, they shouldn't. That's an organizational decision on what quarterback to get, for God's sakes. What are you going to do? Are those guys going to weigh in on who to draft if it doesn't work out with either guy? Who's next?
Let's go to Nick in Wilkinsburg.
Hi, Nick.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. What's up?
Good. First of all, that George Carlin bit, anybody who hasn't listened to it, I encourage it. That bit's hilarious.
I love that bit.
Anyways, as far as the Justin Fields situation goes, I don't care what you call it, controversy, competition, it's there. There are two things with that. One, I don't think week one is a good enough sample size to say whether or not he's going to be the guy. So I am excited to see him in week two because he has a full week of prep ahead of him. And now you can kind of loosen that leash, if you will, let him work a little bit, let him take control of the game. And I think that's really going to be your indication as to who's your guy moving forward. But the one thing, and I'll cap this off with a question for you guys, Russell Wilson is 35 years old. He's nursing a calf injury, and the reality behind calf injuries is they like to mask as Achilles injuries. That's a very commonly known thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my question for you guys is, Kirk Cousins in week one, that's a guy who just tore his Achilles in week eight of last season. So looking at his play and looking at the way Atlanta's game plan coming into this game, 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury, do you think that puts some doubt in the back of their minds about rushing Russell Wilson back before he's 100% healthy?
Well, I appreciate the call. I don't think it has anything to do with Cousins, but they may be, and obviously are, very leery of Russell Wilson playing with this injury. But then I would throw one back to you if you were still there. If it was just Kyle Allen and Russell Wilson, do you think Russell Wilson would have played, and do you think he'd play in this game?
That's a good question.
No, it's a great question, City Limits.
Could you repeat it again for a dramatic effect?
No, but thank you for the compliment. Yes. If it was just Wilson and Kyle Allen, or Wilson and Duck Hodges, would Wilson have played these games? Would Wilson have played these games if it was prime Russell Wilson in Seattle? He wanted... Do you believe the Schefter report that said Wilson told the Steelers he can play?
100% I do.
So do I.
Because I feel like that he notices Justin Fields. He sees him out of the corner of his eye. He sees him peering up behind him.
He has
ready to cross him in the lane right next door.
Oh, you media clickbait guy. You're trying to create controversy.
Because it's not like Russell Wilson is the macho man anymore.
I mean, it's obvious that if you try to put yourself in Russell Wilson's shoes, you see a younger guy, very talented guy, who if he has a great game, you might never play for this franchise and maybe any franchise. It wasn't like people were knocking down Russell Wilson's door trying to bring him in this offseason, and he was free, too. He was free. He didn't cost anything.
Nope.
So, again, this isn't like crazy talk. This is if you're Russell Wilson, every time you watch Justin Fields, you're seeing your own career flash before your eyes. Am I done? I don't want to give that guy another chance. I don't care how nice Russell Wilson seems. He's a cutthroat competitor. Has been his whole career. He's out of the Hines Ward. Nobody thought he could do it school because nobody did. He's undersized, third-round pick or late second, I forget when, not a first-round pick.
Third-round pick.
And nobody had him as a starter right away. Not only was he a starter, he's been a blood-and-guts starter for his whole career. He's taken more sacks than anybody but three or four people in the league history. Played every single game for 9 seasons. So, I don't know. Call me crazy. I have a hard time being convinced that Russell Wilson wouldn't want to play this game against this team with that coach, Sean Payton, who humiliated him or tried to on the sidelines last year. And he felt double-crossed by that organization. He got benched by that coach. Don't be fooled by Russell Wilson's calm, cool, maybe even corporate exterior. Underneath that, you better believe, beats the heart of a cutthroat competitor who would love to go out and with his play humiliate Sean Payton this week. You better believe that. And I believe, left to his own devices, knowing or at least believing the Schefter report that he told the Steelers he could play last week, and now I hear the calf's getting better by Mike Tomlin's own words, you better believe he wants to play this week. And I think he's available based on that report. I don't know that that's like, you know, conspiracy theory media stuff. It just seems like flat out logic to me. Let's go to one more. Well, no, we got to go to the general. We'll get to your calls next. Top of the hour. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Our quarterback reaction brought to you by Bet365. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. Where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's bring on the General. General Patton, Jeff Patton of the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. Your chance to win the Card of the Week comes by going to our website right around noon, Wednesday through Friday, to our contesting page at 937thefan.com. I happen to believe that the General is going to have a Justin Fields card. Limits?
I happen to agree he'll have a Justin Fields card.
General, how are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me. I'm tired of controversy, so we're going to something that's not controversial. T.J. Watt. Game changer. We're giving away a T.J. Watt Panini game-used jersey card. Fan favorite. We sell more Watts than any Steeler card.
What does that mean? Anyway. It comes with like a panini sandwich, or what happens here, General?
Close. Panini's the manufacturer, but it does come with a piece of a jersey that T.J. Watt actually wore.
Beautiful.
It's embedded into the card, making it a little bit more scarce than the average card. Changed the hobby about 10 years ago when they started to implement memorabilia cards being part of the everyday vernacular. It's something that people go after, and it's definitely not controversial. Everybody loves T.J. Watt.
Man, you got that right. Thank you, sir. You're a wonderful man.
You're welcome. You guys have a good day.
That's the General. General Patton, T.J. Watt with a little piece of a jersey in there. You can't beat that. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing. Up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 85 today with sunny skies. Let's just keep this rolling. It's very, very rare that I go back to old school sports talk radio. But we're going to do that today. Why? Because we have a quarterback controversy. No, it's a quarterback competition. It's an in-season competition. Everybody's nice. The coach, Fields, Wilson, the fans. It's just nice. It's nice to be nice to the nice. That's what Frank Burns said on MASH, and it applies here. I won't use the word controversy. We'll just call it an in-season competition so we can all handle it a little bit better. 412-928-9370. JP Roofing and Siding. What a man he is, huh? General Patton and JP, two of a kind.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.